Very good indeed.
Oh
my god. Wow. Let me just say wow a few times.
Wow.
I love it. It was so unlike anything I've ever heard. The layers of the story. So help us break us down, Seth. What are the parts that we had in there?
Gosh, where to start? let's start with the quote. Well, to breaking it down. Well, John had written a bit of a blog post about the commercial that he had written about how we were conceptualizing it, and it was very organic. It wasn't something we you know intended, but we thought about this idea of many different conversations in a room and sort of moving through the crowd, zooming into one discussion or conversation between a couple of people and then out, or maybe even into the conversation inside one's own head. And that is what really emerged. I think what was interesting was our collaborative process. We started with a Google Doc, and then there was this sort of fly-by-night throwing ideas on the Google Doc, and then we came up with a time to meet. And long story short, we ended up creating a Dropbox to put in items. And we just started putting in pieces, and it reminded me of the that story, The Shoemaker and the Elves, where you'd go to sleep and shoes would be made. And I think it was also because we had such different time zones, we would find ourselves adding a little bit and then waking up to discover that someone else had added a little bit. And then Rochelle just sort of took these bits and she just took a stab at it. And when we had a chance to Skype and talk about it and listen to it, John and I were really taken by it. And then we just sort of layered and built upon it from there.
Right. And I just mean like conception. I mean, we've got this whole like foundation of the Comes a Time song, which seriously, I did not mind hearing for 15 minutes because it was
nice.
Beautiful. And then more in the opening, sort of like the interweaving of all of you sort of saying the lyrics over the lyrics while the story was going on. So many layers.
Mm-hmm.
That worked really well. So who were your conversations with?
My conversations were with my mom specifically, but I talked about my sister and then also I've got two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister.
Right.
But this was particularly with my mom. And we spoke predominantly about a memory that I have. It's not a memory. It's a telling, actually. Before I was even born, she went on a job interview. And it was on a Friday. It was at, I think, an accounting firm. And they asked her if she knew how to operate a 10-key, and she said, of course, she knew how to operate a 10-key. And she was given the job. She was going to start on Monday, and she didn't know how to operate a 10-key. And so she borrowed a 10-key from a family member and typed in or keyed in. If anyone knows what a 10-key, it's what is the number pad on the keyboard.
Yeah.
So she just keyed in the phone book, and this is back in the 60s, I think, over the weekend so that she was up to par on Monday. And I've always had that image in my head of my mom keying in the phone book from Friday to Monday.
Wow.
To be ready for a job.
That's amazing.
This is what people had to do before there was YouTube, to look this stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought one of her last comments was really interesting, that you don't know there's a story there until you connect something with something else, that it might just seem like a little snippet, but then you put it together and it becomes a story. I really liked that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and you know, John's story starts out with a strong visual of the portrait of his grandfather. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, his voice is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It worked really well with the music. And I love what you guys did in terms of a very original format.
Yeah, I felt like it was really thought-provoking all throughout. And I never would have thought, Alan, you mentioned saying the lyrics close to the same time that they're being sung. I never would have thought of that, but it really is effective, and I liked how that was layered in. Because, you know, you can hear the lyrics when they're sung, but somehow it even emphasizes them more when they're said as well. And I thought the timing of those was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was lovely too.
And of course, Rochelle is seriously talented.
Oh my gosh.
Mechanically, so did you actually have the, did you edit this in Audacity, and was that in the, was that file in the Dropbox itself, so you guys were all editing too?
So the technical skill and the files, the magic really is thanks to Rochelle. I have virtually no auditing audio work skills. She uses GarageBand, and John also has skills with GarageBand and Audacity. But really, she took on the files. I recorded a couple of things in Audacity, mostly with an old handheld MP3 player, like from 2004. Mm-hmm. So amazing that she was able to make such good sound quality out of that recording. And John's pieces from GarageBand and Audacity were what Rochelle pulled in. And she had, at one point, a bit of a complication, which she was able to solve by just sort of upgrading to a new version of GarageBand.
She is persistent when she knows that something can be done. She always finds a way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she did put a lot of effort into kind of aligning the spoken part with the lyrics in a way that were aligned, but you didn't know. It was not overly done. It was not overdone, but it was almost an echo, a thought echo.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful way, so impressive. Echo. Yeah. And that's what we're describing with the narration of the lyric, with the lyric. And to me, it's like it comes with someone who has this sense about putting music together, as she obviously does.
Mm-hmm. This struck me as feeling like a really well-done sort of podcast, you know, one of those things that you might download from NPR or something, that I felt it was really something I would listen to just on my own, as opposed to because it's from DS-106, right? I thought it was really great.
Excellent. So what can you say as a participant? I could guess what that you got out of this project, Seth.
I'm really inspired. I never thought to do any work in audio before. And I've really enjoyed NPR over the years and StoryCorps and those driveway moments. But I'm very excited to start working with audio and in a way that I don't care what comes up. I just want to start working with the medium. I just really enjoyed working with Rochelle and John. John came up with such amazing images from his memory and his growing up experience. And I feel like his memory images are almost more palpable than my own, the way that he narrates them. I'm just sort of sitting in that moment of his narration.
Excellent. And I can say that I know exactly what you mean about like really getting to appreciate and desire to create an audio. It's a single media. You know, we think, oh, it's just sound, but there's so much more to it. And also, I've seen a lot of students and DS-106 participants having that ability to be versed enough in audio to put things together really helps you when you move into your video or if you're doing mm-hmm. any sort of thing like putting together like a narrated PowerPoint or something like that.
You know what the interesting thing is for me is I've been recording in audio for years and I've never done anything with it. I don't know what to do with it. I've recorded rainstorms, chimes, family members, conversations. I've recorded all sorts of weird stuff. They're just in my files and I've never done anything with it. It's almost like my journaling. I've journaled a lot and I've never gone back and read it, but it's sort of breathed new life into that material.
It's lovely that you kept all those things because if you do start doing more audio, you never know when those things are going to come in handy, right? Those mm-hmm. conversations or the notes that you were taking, your thoughts that might, you know, spark new ideas to create something different later. That's great.
Excellent. So thank you so much, Seth, for joining us. Hello.
Thank you.
To all my friends in Phoenix.
We miss you. We're always looking forward to seeing you come in.
I'll be back. I'll be back, especially now that the weather's cooling off. I've become a wimp. I can't stand the summers here.
Where are you right now, Alan?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, you're in Virginia. Okay. You never know right now. You're traveling all over. So
yeah,
never quite sure where you are.
I'll be in the UK till November 8th. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to visit John Johnston, among other DS-106ers, and Mariana.
Excellent.
Nice.
So I'm really excited to meet the folks I know so well in the three dimensions. And I'll meet you one day, Christina. I won't be in Utah, but it'll happen.
You'll get to BC sometime.
I definitely will. I love BC. So I'm going to end this little segment. Thank you, Seth, for tuning in. You can hang up or stick around if you want to. I'm going to toggle off the broadcast so I cut my...